to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 and 5. And put your finger there and flip on over to the first scripture we're going to go to, which is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Amen. Somebody say, God is worthy. You guys came expecting tonight?
Yeah.
We're going to help you out tonight. Amen. Just a little bit. Tell you, we're going to have some Bible study tonight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Hope you came ready to take some notes. Amen. Praise God in heaven. Look what it says here in verse 12. Matter of fact, I want you to read it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Somebody say, fight.
Fight.
Amen. Say, fight again.
Fight.
Now, let me just say something about fighting. Amen. You know, in the natural, you know, most of us have had some type of fight in the natural. Amen.
Yeah.
Whether it's a physical one or whether it's a verbal one. Now, I will say something about you women. Somebody say, you women's. See, women's, they know how to fight them verbal fights. If a man can win a fight with a woman that is verbally, he's a good guy. I'd like to see him. I'd like to take notes from him. Amen. Women are skillful with that. That's why Proverbs 31 says that in her mouth is what? The law of kindness. Amen. Because once you put God's word in your mouth and you start saying God's word and speaking God's word, Luke chapter 18, verse 1 tells us a story about a woman who wanted her money. Amen. And she continued to go to that judge who was unjust day and night. And finally, that guy gave in and said, look here, lest her continual coming wear me out, I'm going to give her what she wants. Now, y'all like, what is he talking about? We're going to tell you about something in a minute. As far as men, you know, a lot of us, we big ourselves up on, you know, some of us go to the gym. I ain't been to the gym in a while. I need to go to the gym. Amen. But some of us go to the gym and we lift weights and we want to get our biceps fixed and we want to get our triceps fixed and we want to look all good. But the Bible says that bodily exercise profits very little. Come on, somebody say amen. But godliness profits of much, okay? Here's the point that I want to say here, that it doesn't matter when it comes to living in this earth how well you can fight in the flesh. It matters that you can fight the good fight of faith. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verse 4 and verse 5. We're going to talk about this fight just for a minute, and we're going to give you some weapons. It says here in verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the what? Though we walk in the flesh. How many people in here walk in the flesh? Raise your hand. Now, I'm not talking about in a negative sense. When I say in the text, the context of this scripture is saying, though we walk in the flesh, meaning we're living this natural life. He's not talking about walking in the flesh, living according to the sinful nature. He's talking about living this natural life. Amen. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War, or we do not fight after the flesh. Look what it says here. For the weapons, somebody say weapons. The weapons of our warfare, or the weapons that we use when we fight, are not carnal. Circle that word carnal. That word carnal is talking about your sensory mechanism. Talking about your what you can see, what you can smell, what you can hear, what you can touch, what you can taste. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We have to understand that we are here as believers. We have to separate ourselves when it comes to this spiritual battle. We have to separate ourselves from warring after the flesh. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Because what happens is that if you are a believer and you respond to whatever you go through the flesh, what's going to happen is you're going to get fleshly results all the time. The Bible says in Galatians that if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit life everlasting. But if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption and death. So what the Lord wants us to see here is, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We don't fight. Now watch this. After the flesh. The Bible says here, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Somebody say strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Somebody say imaginations. Now watch this right here. And every high thing. How many high things?
Every
high thing. Now let's see what a high thing is. High thing is those that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that exalts itself against what God's word says is considered a high thing. Is considered a stronghold. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Anything that exalts itself against God's word is considered a stronghold, an imagination that is a high thing, okay? The Bible says we don't war after the flesh concerning this right here. The Bible says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity, how many thoughts? Every thought. How many thoughts?
Every.
Come on, how many thoughts?
Every.
How many thoughts? Let's get this. How many thoughts? That means you and I got power over our thought life. Let me just say this right here. Generally, our words become thoughts, or vice versa. Our thoughts become words. What we see out here as images can get into our heart, and that thing can create that pathway that we saw Sunday that keeps a perpetual thought happening in your life over and over and over and over again. This is why certain people become murderers, and certain people become very verbally abusive, and certain people become promiscuous, or certain people have pornographic problems, or certain people have alcohol problems, or certain, are you catching what I'm saying? Why? Because they give into that thought and that temptation so much that what happens is that thing begins to overcome them. And they don't have control over it. So whenever somebody comes around their life or get in their pathway and they push that button, what it does, it reminds them and it opens up the gateway to those thoughts that keep coming. And they keep coming. And they keep coming. Come on. And they keep coming. So people fly off the handle and they snap and they respond certain ways. And God don't want us to respond like that, because though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, I don't care what nobody else tell you. You and I got power over our thought life. We got power over our flesh. Hear what I'm saying here. That's why we have what is called praying, fasting, confession, the different what we call disciplines of grace. When you operate in these things, grace is infused within your human spirit that gives you the ability to live that lifestyle of liberty and more than a conqueror. If you operate in the disciplines of grace. Come on, somebody say disciplines of grace. This is important. This is important. Now watch this right here. It says, having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, don't look on things after the outward appearance. Now tonight I'm going to talk about one of the disciplines of grace. And I probably, on Wednesday nights, will not stop talking about this one. I've talked about this one over and over and over and over again. And guess what? We need to revisit it again. Somebody said we need to revisit it again. We're going
to
talk about the discipline of grace called prayer. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you something. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 14 real quick. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. How many people in here experience temptation on a weekly basis? Come on, let's be honest about it. Raise your hands. Raise your hands. How many people experience temptation? Now, let me just define temptation. Temptation does not necessarily mean that you actually do it,
right,
but the thought or the urge or the desire is there to do it. Now, every person in here, if you have experienced temptation in the last week, raise your hand. Doesn't matter what it is. Temptation to cuss somebody out. Temptation to knock somebody upside the head. Amen. Come on. Temptation to cheat on something. I like to keep it real, because we real people. We go through real situations, real circumstances. See, this is why, you know, the popes and stuff, you know, they looked holy up behind that real high podium up in the sky. But then they come to find out there was babies hidden inside the walls of different places because they couldn't control their temptation. So they looked the part up here, but they really wasn't the part in real life. See, Jesus wants us to get to the part where we actually are the part. See, the Lord don't, it doesn't matter if you and I have a good message to preach. What matters if we are the message. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He told me this years ago. I was praying and I was fasting, spending time with him. He says, son, he said, I don't want you to preach the message. I want you to be the message. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. This is important. Mark chapter 14. You remember the story. This is before Jesus' great temptation. Amen. He told Peter and the disciples that he carried with him. He told him, he said, listen, I want you to go and I want you to pray. Amen. Look here at verse 37. And he cometh and he findeth them sleeping. Chapter 14, verse 37 of Mark. He found them sleeping and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch what? 1 hour. Watch ye in what? Lest ye enter into what? I'm going to tell you this. Always. When you read the Bible, never read the Bible like words are just in there to take up space. Read the Bible understanding that every single word means something. If Jesus said it, it meant something. He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He did not say the temptation wouldn't come. He said, when it comes, you won't enter it if you watch and pray. If you are in a physical body and you don't have a prayer life, guess what? You will enter temptation. Yeah, yeah. That means when somebody mistreats you. Prime example. We're moving in our new house today. Amen. Those of you who don't know, just off the cuff, Pastor Rosie got blessed and we end up moving in a house with zero money down. So let me just say something. So we're moving in this house and I'm the nice, smiley, big yellow pastor that I am. So everybody to go by, I'm smiling like, you know what I mean? You know that smile, you know, like the president's smile, you know. I'm smiling at everybody, letting everybody know. My wife and my daughter say, why do you wave at everybody? I said, because I'm their pastor. They don't know it yet, but I know it. I'm their pastor, amen. I know that. They don't know it yet, but I know it. So I'm waving at them. So this one guy come out on one of them sprees. And he pull up, you know what I mean? And he looked at me, and he got his glasses on, little beard goatee thing right here. So I just smiled and waved at him. He looked at me like, I said, he must not know I'm from the hood. That's what came up. That thought came up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That thought popped up like, grab him by the back of his neck and snatch him off that moped and say, didn't you see me wave my hand? Ah! I'm just joking. Amen. How many other people have felt like that? Y'all know. Come on. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Amen. But the temptation came, but I didn't enter into it. Because daily I have a prayer life. Come on, somebody say amen. I got a personal prayer life and I got a corporate prayer life. Tell your neighbor, say you got a personal prayer life and a corporate prayer life. See, if you don't know how to know God for yourself, your pastor can't bail you out of the problems that's about to come on this earth. The Bible calls it in Isaiah 60, gross darkness is going to cover the earth. Gross darkness will cover the people of the earth, but it will not come near you. God's glory will come and shine upon you. That means everybody else can be experiencing pain and debt and poverty and evil and all this plague. And guess what? You can be like MC Hammer. Can't touch this. Amen. That don't make you special. God loved them just like he loved you. That make you a covenant person. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm a covenant person. See, once you in covenant, once you cut covenant with God, God do exactly what he promised he going to do. The question is, are we fulfilling our part of the covenant? Yes. Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, you better pray. Lest you enter into temptation. Now, turn to 2 Chronicles. See, because we're going to walk you over to something and show you something about the person of the Holy Spirit tonight. Because, you know, my goal is to get all of us into a close, intimate, personal relationship with the person. Do you know the Holy Spirit is the most neglected person of the Godhead?
Yes, yes.
Come on. Jesus told us to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. It'd be like you sitting down with your wife all day long and never saying nothing to her. When you get born again, you know you get filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes on the inside of you. Now, you might not be filled and endued with the power of God where you're speaking with tongues, but the Spirit of God is in you. And the Bible, he wants to come up on you. Somebody say up on you. That's what upon means. He wants to come up on you. Amen. The Bible says, he that believeth in me, amen, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Okay, now we're going to show you how the Spirit of God is tied in this, because you can't pray without knowing the Holy Ghost. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Look at verse 13 and 14. Now, before I read these two scriptures, I'm going to show you something. In the context of this verse, it's talking about corporate land. But I'm going to bring this to your individual lifestyle so that you can understand how important it is, so that when you're praying for yourself and praying for your family, you understand your corporate responsibility that you have. Now, I'm going to say something. Watch this. Everything that happens in earth, good or bad, is contingent upon the church's relationship with God.
Yeah.
I'm trying to show you something. The Bible calls us he that withholds. He that we are holding back God's wrath from this planet. We are, the church is. The more you and I become filled with God's presence and filled with God's power, and we know him, and daily we walk intimately with him, and we begin to converse with him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says it like this. It says, the love of God and the communion, or the common union of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God be with you always. That means every single day of your life, you and I should be walking in the love of God. We should be walking in the grace of God. And we should be walking in common union with the Spirit of God. That means the Spirit of God is a person. He's a person who has a personality, meaning that you can grieve him. You can quench him. You can make him jealous. Come on. Amen. The Bible said the spirit that's on the inside of us lusted to envy. He's jealous when we put the world over him. Come on. Somebody say amen. I'm trying to talk to you about something right now. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, somebody say if my people. Yeah. Now raise your hand if you are my people. Everybody in here should have their hand up, because if you are a born again believer, you belong to God. And I know every person in this room is born again. If my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. Circle the word humble. Humble means to abase. I like the one definition. It means to get low. Somebody say, get low. Get off your high horse. The opposite of humility is pride. The word pride means to be self-dependent, independent of God. It is the whole I-ism, me-ism personality of our nation right now. Everybody, we have replaced education for revelation. We have replaced God's presence for technology.
Yes. Come on.
Amen. It's the microwave generation syndrome. I told you a couple weeks ago, anything that's valuable takes time. Amen. God ain't no hot pocket. You can't put him in the microwave and turn it up to 30 seconds and be like, and then pop him out. You can't do that. Your relationship with God ain't no pizza roll. You just can't read the back of the thing and just pop it in, bing, and then pull it out. No, anything that's valuable takes time, a considerable amount of time. It takes investment. See, that's why we got to say stuff like this. If you're going to have a great family, somebody say a great family. If you're going to have a good relationship with your wife, your children, you have to invest time, not spend time. Because when you spend time, you're exhausting. When you invest time, you're planning. I'm trying to show you something tonight. So you're not spending time with the Lord. You're investing time with the Lord. My God. Amen. Can I just be real with y'all tonight? I'm doing this thing called the turn challenge with men in this ministry. And we're going to take 12 men and graduate them through this turn challenge. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm showing you some things concerning the turn challenge that's going to affect the nation. It's about restoring the heart of the fathers back to the children, heart of the children back to the fathers, giving proper identity to this generation. But the first thing that he's dealing with me is turning men's heart towards God. There's a few areas where the Bible tells us to return. Amen.
Yes.
You know, in the book of 2 Corinthians, it tells us when the man's heart or our heart shall turn to the Lord or return to the Lord. It's talking about the mind. In Malachi, he says, return to me concerning giving. But the main thing that main thing that the Lord spoke to me about was a thing called prioritizing. Somebody say prioritizing. This is important because we're talking about prayer. Prioritizing. Because I remember being taught that, somebody say this, say God first.
God first.
Family second.
Family second.
And then church.
And then church.
This is where the Lord told me we messed up at. God is church. You can't separate church from God. And that's what's happened. The world system has taught us. Watch this. The world system, because we brought it into the church and imported that mindset into the church, we said, well, I'm taking care of my family. Amen. And then my obligation is church. But no, no, no. You can't separate church from God, because church is God's image. Come on, somebody say amen. So watch this. So putting God first is this right here. It's, of course, your personal, intimate, close relationship with God. But I'm going to train men that if you are not responsible and accountable to the local church, you're not putting God first. Come on, somebody say amen. See, because we got to end all these little long ranger ministries. We got to end all this stuff, because it's destroying the body of Christ, especially in Adrian. There's too many long ranger, unauthorized, so-called shepherds in this city. I ain't trying to beat nobody up, but if you ain't accountable to another man of God, then you ain't called. You can't have authority without first being under authority. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You can't have authority without first being under authority. So everybody want to be called, but many are called, but few are chosen. Come on, somebody say amen. See, because if you step out there without authority over you, when you get off, ain't nobody to correct you. Amen. That's why men of God can sleep with other women in the pulpit, amen, and get back up 3 weeks later and still preach the gospel. That ain't God. You don't do that stuff. Amen. Any kids in here? Any kids? I'm not even going to say it, but I was just going to be a real pastor tonight. But amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Humble themselves and what?
Pray.
Seek my face. Watch this. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will what? Forgive their sin and do what? Heal their land. Listen. He didn't say maybe I'll forgive their sin. He didn't say maybe I'll heal their land. He said I will heal their land. I will heal their land. If you humble yourselves. Amen. Pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, amen? You can't even turn from your own selfishness and wickedness without a close, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. You want me to prove it? Now, flip over to Philippians chapter 2. Flip over there. All I'm doing is trying to turn you to the Lord. That's all I'm doing, because guess what? After this message right here tonight, you know what's going to happen? Not one person will get up tomorrow without spending quality, vital time in God's presence. Write this little nugget down. You ready for this? Never face the world without first facing God. Never. If you face the world without God's power and God's grace, the world going to slap you upside your head and make you its slave. Amen. You can tell when people have been in the presence of God. You know how you can tell? Not because they got that glow. You feel the glow. Not because of that. Because of the words that come out of their mouth. If you've been in the presence of God, listen, when Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, when he got in God's presence, the first thing God dealt with was his lips. Soon as you get in God's presence, he's going to deal with what's coming out your mouth. You can't get in God's presence and come out talking about, I can't believe the economy. I can't believe all these police officers stopping me. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is going on. I can't believe you seen what happened on TV. No, you should have turned the TV off. Well, I watch TV because I need to be up to date with current events. Guess what? No, you up to date with the world. Sometimes you just need to turn that thing off. Amen. I'm preaching good. Amen. Amen. What's the scripture I told you to go to? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's all read that on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now I'm showing you something right here. Without God, you can't even do his will. Without God, you can't even pray. Now, we get into prayer because we're talking about healing our land and everything. But let's just see that. Without God, you can't even pray. Turn to Romans 8 and 26. Turn there right quick. Just turn there, because I want you to see it for yourself. You know what this going to make you do? This going to make you sit somewhere, get your eyes closed, and raise your hands and say, God, I'm crying out for you. I'm seeking you, Lord. I desire you, Lord. Without you, I can't do nothing. See, this ain't the preacher thing. This ain't the prophet thing. This ain't the apostle thing. This is the believer thing. When you get to the place where you're tired of being beat up in your life, you'll find you a secret place where you can go spend some time with God and get yourself together. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. See, we got to grow believers up. We got to grow them up. Amen. Praise the Lord. What scripture I tell you to go to? Romans 8:26. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. Pastors led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Now, on the count of three, let's read it. One, two, three. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. Stop right there. Circle the word infirmity. That word infirmity means weaknesses and or contradictions of the human flesh or the sinful nature. The Spirit of God helps us in our weaknesses. Now, how many got weaknesses? Raise your hand. See, this is the first key to deliverance. Say, the first key to deliverance. Recognizing you can't deliver yourself.
Oh, come on.
Amen. If you could deliver yourself, you wouldn't be up in that house. You wouldn't be on that phone making that phone call. You wouldn't be doing that if you could deliver yourself. But you can't deliver yourself. You and I are in desperate need of a Savior. Come on, somebody say amen. You can't. Likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. Now watch what it says after that. For when we know not what we should, as we ought, but the Spirit should be himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Come on, somebody say, the Spirit of God wants to help you pray. The Spirit, matter of fact, I want you to write this down. Say, the Spirit of God, write it down. Say, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. Without the Spirit of God, you know, I used to believe that people would pray if they knew how to pray. I used to believe that. You know, as a good Bible teacher, we say, I don't believe people don't want to pray. I believe they just don't know how to pray. Well, that lasted a little bit. Let me just say something. And I'm going to the scripture. You can flip your Bible over to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I'm going to the scripture. I was talking to a man of God on the phone last week, and we were talking about prayer coming out of schools in the 60s when they, you know, took prayer out of schools. And I said, you know, the church didn't stand up. So prayer came out of the schools. He said, no, prayer came out of the school because the church wasn't praying at home.
Whoa. Come on.
Now, this is one of my mentors, almost 60 years old. The church wasn't praying at home.
Yes.
See, when you got a vibrant, listen, a vibrant, vital, listen to the words I'm using, vital communion with God. Amen. You can walk in the Spirit. You can be led by the Spirit. As soon as you spend time with the Holy Spirit, he's going to prompt you to meditate the word. When you meditate the word, he's going to prompt you to confess the word. When you confess the word, he's going to prompt you to stand on the word. The Holy Spirit is always going to lead you and guide you and direct you into truth. And John chapter 14 tells us he's the Spirit of truth. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, you wrote that down? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. Zechariah, somebody say Zechariah. Amen. Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Somebody say amen. Ooh-wee. I'm finishing. Y'all learning something tonight?
Yes.
I mean, here's the best thing that I could say. I'm just pushing it out there because I just want everybody to just leave here and get up in the morning. If you go to work at 6 and you get up at 5 to get ready, get up at 4. Get up at 4. Let me tell you something about sacrifice. It's powerful. We worked the other night, and we got home 7 or so. Went home, laid in the bed, you know what I mean? Got in the bed, I set my alarm clock to get up right at 8:30. 8:30 hit, I was tired. I didn't even get no sleep, because when I'm home that early, my family is already up. My wife get up like the chickens. Matter of fact, the chickens be like, please go back to sleep. You know, that's how my wife get up. She's up, man. She's up and at 'em. I'm telling the truth, daughter. She's up and at 'em, man. I'm telling you, man. If you, man, you got to get up early to pray when Pastor Rosie in the house. You got to get up real early, amen. But anyhow, I got about 40 minutes sleep, I correctly calculated, after being up all night long. Came the morning prayer. We had the most powerful morning prayer that morning. For 2 hours, we prayed in the spirit. We confessed the word. We proclaimed the word. We prayed for the city, prayed for the fivefold ministry in the area, prayed for the president. We do that every day. But there was something special about that day. You know what I mean? And I know what it was. It was the sacrifice. Hear what I'm saying? Remember that song? Meet me halfway. Remember that song? Across the sky. Some people know that song. Anyhow. When you take one step, the Lord will take a yard. I promise you that. If you just take one step of faith, he loves you so much he'll honor you with that step of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at this right here. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. He said, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the what? The spirit of grace and what? The word supplication means prayer or petition. Now, I'm going to say this again. Everything that happens good or happens bad, and I'm going to end it with a scripture here. Everything that happens good or happens bad is based upon our prayer lives. Our prayer lives. You and I, the church, we have power over all the power of the devil. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We have power over all the power of the devil. I heard another man of God. I can't believe, but he said we don't have power over sickness. Let's see, the sickness fit in all. We have power over all the power of the devil. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. When we spend time in the presence of God and we meditate the word and we get filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens is that he began to reveal to us hidden things, secret things. He infuses us. He empowers us. Colossians 2 and 3 says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. They're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. Come on, somebody say amen. Anything that's valuable takes and requires time. So when you invest time in the presence of God, he begins to reveal to you based upon your investment. If it's a large investment, guess what? Large revelation. The Bible said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you knock, the door shall be open. If you seek, you will find. Amen. My God. Ephesians, last scripture. Matter of fact, not the last scripture. Two more scriptures. Can I give you two more? I want you to go home blessed. Yes. Can I give you two more? Yes. Just two more? Just two more. Anybody got two? Anybody got two? Two more right there? Amen. Two more. I'm just going to show you the church's responsibility in this. Because, see, we have corporate prayer every morning at 9 o'clock. Amen. And then we have corporate prayer on Sunday at 9 a.m. Amen. And now when I do this turn challenge with 12 men, I'm going to require all 12 men to meet me for a couple hours every week for prayer. Because we're going to change the climate of this whole region here. I promise you, we're not going to sit back and complain about what's going on. You know that the unemployment rate is so high in this city. I can't believe all the factories are leaving. And all people who, listen, I'm going to say something powerful. Oh, the Lord led me to move to Texas. Look, wherever you are, you are. If you jacked up in Adrian, when you go to Texas, you're going to be jacked up. Come on, somebody say amen. This is the truth. You know, people got to get that. Listen, if you read the Bible, you'll find out your geographical location has nothing to do with the blessing. Not nothing. Because when Lot took everything, he basically turned to what looked like it was the best side. Abraham, listen, Abraham was so blessed. Abraham knew God so much that he looked at Lot and said, no strife needs to be among us. He said, whatever you choose, I'll go the opposite way. So Lot chose what looked like was the best. And there Abraham stood. Watch this. Abraham stood where it looked like with nothing. And then the Lord, out of his personal, intimate, close walk with God, the Lord said, look up with your eyes. He said, as far as you can see, it belongs to you. You got to catch what I'm saying. Your geographical location has nothing to do with the blessing. You could be in a ditch and build an Empire State Building if God is with you. I'm just trying to tell you something. God gave Joseph a dream and the blessing was on Joseph. Guess what? Guess what? Got sold to the Chaldeans, end up in prison. The blessing was on him so strong that he became the chief person in the prison. And that thing was on him so strong that it got him out of the prison and he ended up being the prime minister over Egypt. Can't nothing stop you when you got a close, intimate, personal relationship with God. You could be in a crack house one day and pastoring a church the next day. I'm telling you something right now. That's how God is when the blessing is on you. Whew. Here we go. Two more scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5. Didn't I say that? And then help me remember. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me get there. Somebody said, let Pastor get there. We're done. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 5. No, Ephesians chapter 6, my bad. My page is all ripped up. Ephesians chapter 6. Talking about the armor of God. Look at verse 17. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I was reading the Amplified, the sword that the Spirit wields. Tell your neighbor, say, the sword is the word of God. Amen. 18. What does it say? Praying how often?
Always.
How often?
Always.
With all prayer and supplication in what? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How often should you be praying?
Always.
How often should you be praying?
Always.
Amen. Now, let's go to Thessalonians. Not Thessalonians. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. And we're going to end right here. Well, we're doing good. 8:20, we're going to end right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm say it one more time. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor. The condition or the environment in which we live can be changed by our prayers. We read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. All I'm doing is showing you guys our responsibility. Our responsibility. Amen. And watch this right here. Chapter 2. It says, I exhort, therefore, that what? First of all. Now, I was teaching this in our leadership class the other day. Somebody say, first of all. You know what first of all means? It means of all the things that you could do, do this first. First of all. Amen?
Yes.
It's funny how that out of the basket of decisions that we make, somehow prayer, confession, and all of that stuff ends up on the back burner. And then we make all of our bad decisions, and then we say, I think I'm going to go pray. Amen. You run out of decisions. You know what I mean? It's like gambling. You know what I mean? Try that one. Oh, that didn't work. The next thing you know, you're like, oh, God, please help me. Amen. Prayer shouldn't be a tow truck to pull you out of a ditch. Come on. Just remember that analogy. Prayer should not be a tow truck to pull you out of a ditch. Prayer should be the tow truck that pulls others out of the ditch.
Yes.
Here's what I mean. You should be the tow truck. Looking for somebody to pull out of the ditch. Your prayers are so vibrant, so vital, so anointed, so you're in such a communion with God, such a relationship with God, that everywhere you go, every person that you see, you scanning them. You know, when I'm with people, you know what I mean? Maybe some people know this by now about me. But when I be talking to them sometimes, I might be praying in the spirit real low. I be talking to them, smiling and everything, you know what I mean? I shake their hand, praise God, praise his name, you know? I might be doing stuff like that, but I'm really scanning them because I'm saying, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me about this person? Because if the Spirit is willing that I say something to them, I want to have that word in my spirit to release that to that person. I want to be able to say something that can remove the burden and destroy the yoke because I am anointed. Come on, somebody say, I am anointed.
I am anointed.
Amen. Praise God. Here we go. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. Somebody say supplications.
Supplication.
This word means petitions. Somebody say prayers.
Prayer.
I love this word. Circle this word, prayers. 4336 in the Greek language is prosyukame. Prosyukame, which means to get face to face with God and petition him. Now, I mean face to face with him. Now, we could talk about the face of God all day long, and I can just really bless you, you know, but I can help you out here. God's word is his face. Now, I know that you're like, Pastor, I can't grasp that. In the temple, David ate what was called the table of showbread when he was hungry one time. The word showbread is translated face bread. Face bread. Amen. Now, I want to just show you something about God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says that the glory of God is in the face of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 said, but we all with unveiled face beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Where is the glory of the Lord? In the face of Jesus. The Bible says in James chapter 1 that the word of God is a mirror. I'm trying to show you something here. If you want to be face to face, people say, I just can't wait till I get to heaven so I could see him. You can see him now. I'm trying to show you something. You can see him now. You don't got to wait till you get to heaven to see him. St. John says this right here. He said, if you love me and you keep my word, he said, I and my Father will come unto you and make our abode, and I will make myself plainly seen to you. See, what it is that we want to see the natural man, Jesus. But do you know what? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And the Bible said he will show us all things. He will teach us concerning all things. He will transmit that which is Jesus and show it unto us. The Bible said things that we can't see with the natural eye, hear with the natural ear. The Bible said the things that God prepared for them that love him, he will reveal them. Apocalypse, take the cover off. He will take the cover off. Where is the cover at? It's in your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, 16, 17. Your mind is blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those which believe not. It's all there. He blinds your mind so that you can't see the face. See, when you read the word and you have intimacy with God, the Spirit of God will begin to teach you about who Jesus is. And as he teaches you who Jesus is, all of a sudden by you being in that face, you begin to see who you are because you are in him. And all of a sudden those inadequacies and those weaknesses and that low self-esteem that you have because mama did this or mama didn't do that and daddy did this and daddy didn't do that, or maybe the next door neighbor threw the ball over your yard, you know what I mean, amen, and hit your dog and your dog ran off screaming and now you got offense in your heart towards that. I'm just throwing it out there. Whatever the case may be, the Spirit of God will begin to pull you up out of those circumstances and show you that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He'll show you that the Spirit of God is upon you and he has anointed you. Come on, somebody say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. My God. Here's how we change the world. It says we got to intercede, get face to face with God. Intercession, giving thanks. Intercession, circle the word intercession. It means on behalf of somebody else. Giving of thanks. Be made for how many men? All men. Even how many is all men? Even the ones that make you mad. That's a good practice. When people get on your last nerve, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. The Bible said, bless those that despitefully use you and curse you. And say all manner of ill. Man, so many people done lied on me in this city. And it's just amazing. You know what I mean? They said I was a pedophile driving vans around, picking up teenage girls and sleeping with them. Have anybody seen my wife lately? She is beautiful. I don't need that in my life. But it's amazing the kind of stuff people conjure up and try to lie on people about. It's because they jealous. Come on, somebody say amen. That's just what it is, you know. And people going to lie about you and talk about you when they jealous about you. Amen. I'm just telling you that. And you know what? You got to walk in the Spirit. I called Pastor Mac one time, and I'm going to end with this. I called Pastor Mac one time, and Pastor Mac, I told him my whole little story.
Pastor Mac, they lying on me. They said this about me. They, you know, this and this, this. And
Pastor Mac said, Claude, shut that mess up. He said, Jesus was slandered, and you think you better than him? You're going to be slandered. Any kingdom of God preacher is going to be slandered. That's why they still slandering Kenneth Copeland. That you would figure out the man is almost 80 years old, look like he's 45, and the man is giving more money to mission field than any pastor on the planet. You would think by now that they would get their mouth off of him, but they still talk about him. I'm blessing somebody tonight. See, you all hung up on what somebody said about you, what you think somebody said about you, but it don't make no never mind. Amen. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in love. Just walk in victory. Amen. They talk about you, go pray for them. I'm telling you, put them on the altar. Say, Lord, I pray for them. You know, the Bible said, Romans chapter 13, it's like heaping coals of fire on their head when you pray for them. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all got blessed tonight?
Yeah.
Anybody got blessed tonight? Yeah. All we want to do is just push you to the presence of God. That's it. Amen. Oh, Tom was taking notes. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's make a confession of faith tonight.